Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
12. We're going to wrap up Luke chapter 12, and I tell you what, I need you to find somebody who hasn't been here in a while and tell them, you've been missing some church. The last few weeks, there's just been a sense of freedom and a sense that God's people are hearing the voice of the Lord in their lives. I'm not one, I try to stay away from language that, you know, people say, man, oh, God really showed up this Sunday. God shows up every Sunday, you know. I don't really get into the, man, God showed up and showed out, you know, and I know that sounds fun. It's kind of, you get a good crowd up, like, when you say stuff like that. But God shows up and shows out every Sunday when we gather. And he's always present in our lives. The question is, are his people listening? Are the people receptive to what God is saying, how God is moving in their lives? And just a real sense of freedom. And I'm thankful to be a part of the church. And I'm thankful to be a part of this family of God. Honestly, I don't know how people face situations without the church. I don't know how we face situations without this promise that we have from God that he's going to be with us and he's going to walk with us. Even through the valleys, even through the moments of asking why, and we don't know the end of the outcome, but we know God's walking with us. So I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for that. Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 49. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. And what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's appropriate scripture for Thanksgiving coming up. Just say it's biblical, all right? You got conflict in your family, it's biblical. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right as you are going with your adversary to the magistrate? Try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Lord, may it be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. You know, it's interesting that the turn of events that we've had in this service, I think it's going to end up tying all together. I just love how God works. But I was reading this text, and it reminded me of science class, maybe 7th grade, 8th grade physical science. And I know you didn't come here for a science lesson, and that may not be what you're interested in. But I'm sure that all of us, thinking back to our school days, that you are familiar with Newton's third law. I know you guys all have it memorized. I won't even tell you what it is because I know that you know it. Just kidding. Newton's third law is this: for every action, there is an equal and what? Opposite reaction. Man, a bunch of scientists in this room. I like it. You guys are smart. Kershaw County education right here. That's how we roll, right? Absolutely. And so you think about it. We make multiple choices every day. You ever thought about that? We make choices every day. We make choices every hour, every minute. Choices that you're conscious of and choices that you're not conscious of. And the thing is, anytime you make a choice to do something, that means that you didn't do something else. If you chose to go left, that means that you didn't go right. If you chose to do this, then that means you couldn't do that. You know, I'm teaching my kids this every day, that there's only so much time in the day, and you have to choose wisely how you spend your time. You know, a lot of times they'll say, I want to do this, this, and this. I was like, well, all right, well, we've got time for one of those things. And you know, we'll choose one and say, well, no, I still want to do this, or I still want to buy this. I'm like, no, you had choice to do one thing. So when you made the choice to do this or to buy this, then that means you didn't go this way, or that you were not able to buy that. When you choose one, you're leaving another behind. And again, I'm not wanting to get into a lot of science here, but isn't that kind of how friction works? The science of friction are two things. It is this resistance that occurs from two objects coming together. You know, if you rub your hands left, that means friction is caused because the other one is going back or the other one's going forward. Things like that. But you know, friction sometimes is a bad thing, right? You know, when you talk about, especially in relationships, you know, there's a little friction between me and so, and there's a little friction here with this situation. But at the same time, friction is also a good thing because it causes what? It creates traction. If I wanted to move to the right, I've got to plant my foot to the left and push it kind of towards left for me to go right. And I'm able to do that because there's friction that's created in my shoes. I'm wearing shoes that have good friction against the carpet, which creates traction that enables me to move. Do you guys remember the days where you would rub your shoes on carpet? You would create friction in your body, and you would charge up, and then you'd go and maybe I never did that. Other people did that. You know, but you were creating this friction, if you will. And so in this life, we're faced with decisions, and each decision carries with it some sort of consequence. One of my favorite theologians is a guy named Fred Craddock, and he puts it this way. Two raindrops strike the gable of a roof, and at that moment could conclude with their being oceans apart. To be placed in the situation of decision is critical. For to turn toward one person or goal or values means turning away from another. And so today we come to a text that can be very unsettling. This text where Jesus says, I come to bring peace. I came to bring division. And we're all thinking, wait a minute, it's Christmas is coming. We're going to sing peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And here comes Jesus saying, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. So you're like, what does all this mean? So it's a text that can be very unsettling, but we have to read this text in the larger context of the Gospel of Luke. And remember, the Gospel of Luke carries with it this theme of repentance. This is all that Luke is about. Luke is about the fact that, one, the gospel is for everyone. Not just the Jews, not just this certain crowd, but the gospel, this breaking in kingdom of God is for everyone. And if the gospel is for everyone, that means that everyone is called to some level of repentance. Not some level, they are called to repentance. So we see that, we understand that. And so we're getting into a section of Luke that the overall theme is this theme of what it is to repent. It's especially significant when you think back to last week's text, and it's a reminder that there is a judgment time that is coming, a judgment time that is coming in the future, and this isn't meant to be anything to be afraid of, rather a warning that we are all called to make a decision concerning the kingdom of God. We all are called to come to a point to make a decision concerning this kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming. And so for us, the choice is, do we embrace this kingdom? Do we embrace the gospel? Do we embrace Jesus, the Son of God, or do we not embrace it? You see, the reality is that when we embrace the kingdom, when we embrace kingdom values like love your neighbor as yourself, values like forgive your enemies, forgive those who have wronged you, when we embrace those values, this kingdom, then it's going to cause friction in our lives. It's going to cause, on some level, in some parts of our lives, there is going to be division that is caused because of our decision for Christ and for the kingdom. Similarly, when we choose not to make a decision for the kingdom, that decision will also create some division in our lives on some scale. And so let's begin to unpack this text here. Jesus here in verses 49 and 50, he says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. Oh, how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to undergo and what constraint I am under until it is completed. And you can just follow along with me as we go through this. So verses, you got these first two verses here. And you really see the emotion in Jesus. You really see almost like a sense of some sort of holy frustration. You know, he's come to the earth to bring fire. And then he speaks of this baptism that he must undergo. This baptism that he must undergo. And it is a look to the cross. And it reminds us of this. This is the first observation that I want you to see. Jesus is a difference maker, and the cross proves that. Jesus is a difference maker, and the cross proves that. And so he says he's come to earth to bring fire. At baptism he must undergo. So this really just in your face language. And then look at verse 51. He says, "Do you think I came to bring?" To bring peace? No, I tell you, but division. And so it reminds us of this next truth. When we choose Jesus, we are choosing to leave the old ways behind. When we choose Jesus, we're making a decision away from something else in order to turn towards the kingdom, in order to turn towards God. I think it's, you know, Jacob had gave us his testimony this morning. And what you saw in that testimony was there came a point, and this is true for all of us who come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, that you have to turn away from something in order to turn away from Jesus. You cannot, listen folks, you cannot embrace sin and also follow the Lord. You cannot embrace sin and a sinful lifestyle, you cannot embrace doing what you want to do and also follow the Lord. There will be division that is caused in your life when you make a decision for Christ. And that's just the reality of it. So when you choose Jesus, you're leaving the old areas behind. So in this struggle that we have, this spiritual struggle, then we have areas of friction that come up. I believe there's one area of friction, and the first one is ourselves. The first area of friction that's going to be created by choosing the kingdom is this intertension, is this friction of ourselves. Think about it. The Apostle Paul explains it this way in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. This is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do want to do, this I keep on doing. So Paul, in his letter to the Romans is this beautiful theological treatise. It's this beautiful piece of writing that really explains the power of the gospel. It explains the human condition. It explains the human condition that we're all in with sin, but it also explains how the gospel changes that, how the gospel transforms that. And so Paul is making really this truth that we all have this inner struggle. At some point, we've had this struggle that we've had to deal with. You know what you want to do. You know what the word says. You know that in turning to the kingdom, in turning to Jesus, you've got to put some other things down, but there is this struggle. So the first friction that we have is ourselves. The next one is culture. These are the two areas in our lives that we're going to that'll create friction when we choose the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Jesus says this. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Newsflash. Following Jesus will cause conflict, especially with the world around us. When we are short-sighted and do not have an eternal perspective, we find ourselves choosing to be in conflict with Jesus instead of being in conflict with the world. You see, because in that moment, we find it easier to just be in conflict with ourselves or to be in conflict with Jesus, excuse me. We find it easier to be in conflict with Jesus instead of being in conflict with the world. Maybe peer pressure or maybe some sort of addiction, some sort of hang-up, some sort of lifestyle choice. And Jesus comes along and says, "Narrow is the road." The way to the gospel is very narrow. It's not wide. There's a certain call that God and His Spirit is calling us to. So you got to remember, so Jesus, He's speaking to the Pharisees here and some other non-believers that are around. And the biggest reason why the Pharisees had an issue with Jesus is because of the conflict that He created, the friction that He created. And so in choosing to just crucify Him and choosing to always berate Him with different things, they were choosing, "Hey, listen, we'd rather be in conflict with this guy than in conflict with our way of life." You see, the Pharisees, they were comfortable. They had it all figured out. They had a system. Everybody came to the temple. They were the center of all that went on in the Jewish faith. And Jesus, He comes along, and as He's proclaiming this outbreaking, as he proclaims this breaking in of the kingdom of God, He's pretty much saying, "Listen, all that old stuff, that's obsolete. You can put that stuff away. That's not what this is about." But the Pharisees, they'd rather just rest in their disobedience. They would rather just sit in their disobedience than to come out into the light and do something different. They chose to be in conflict with Jesus. And I wonder how many of us do that in our lives. How many of us, we understand what God's calling us to. We understand what the call of the gospel means on our lives. But yet we choose to have conflict with Jesus. We know that it's not kingdom values to feel a certain way about a certain group of people. But yet, I'd rather be in conflict with Jesus instead of being in conflict with how I've always seen the world. You know, when you follow Jesus, it'll change how you see the world. It'll change your opinion on certain things. But a lot of us, we choose to just be in conflict with Jesus instead of being in conflict with what we've always known. Maybe there's a lifestyle choice that we make. Maybe there's something that we know that Jesus wants to call us out of. He wants to give us freedom. He wants to give us victory from certain things. But We'd rather just be in conflict with Jesus instead of being in conflict with the things of the world. But I got some good news, folks. There's victory. There's victory over the fight. You know, it is true that there is a fight and friction with our culture and ourselves when it comes to choosing Jesus. But we do not have to fight. There is victory available to us. Remember what Jesus said in verse 49? He says, I come to bring fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already kindled. So you can read that word fire. You can read that as, well, maybe Jesus must be talking about judgment. And within this context, there's an element there that, yes, Jesus has been speaking of, you know, there is coming a time where he's going to come again. There is coming a judgment. But you can also see this here. He says there's coming a fire. And so fire, we know that fire also purifies. We also know that fire makes things clean. And we also know that the Holy Spirit is represented by fire. And I firmly believe that in this context here, Jesus is referring to, listen, there's a fire that is coming, a fire that's going to purify, a fire that is on its way, that's going to clean and to put us, our hearts, on a path towards Him. We see he's referencing the purifying power of the Holy Spirit. You see, through the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, this is the next observation I want you to see. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the friction in our lives can become traction in overcoming the power of sin. I am convinced of this, that if you feel like what Paul described there, you know what you want to do, you know what the good is, but you just can't do it, there is power over that feeling. There is power over that desire to be in sin. And it comes through the indwelling and the purifying power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said this in chapter 6 of Romans. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desire. And so you may be thinking, well, David, that's chapter 6, and you know what you just read from Romans was chapter 7, and so if we're reading this kind of linear, then, you know, but this is how you're not supposed to, you don't, Romans chapter 5, really through 8, is this big description of the hope of the gospel. So Paul, he presents this great treatise that there is power in the Spirit, that there is life change and there is power that we don't have to have sin reign in us. But then in chapter 7, he gives the example of, but we know how the human condition is. We understand that there is this pull to sin. And then as you go through chapters 8, you then see, but therefore, we don't face any condemnation. Therefore, that there is life in Jesus Christ. So yes, a part of this human condition that we're born, a part of this condition of sin, yes, is this inter-struggle with ourselves. But there's victory over that through the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get from friction to traction? Because that's really the that if there's any good that comes from friction, it is traction. If you ever watch a NASCAR race, man, they're setting those cars up to get the right amount of friction against that track so they can have good traction depending on what kind of track they're at. And so while friction, yeah, is a bad thing, it also gives us traction. And I think spiritually, when you experience this friction, when you experience what it is to turn away from sin and to turn towards God, yes, there will be this friction, but God's going to help us to use that to give us traction through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the power of sin in our lives. But we have to recognize that. And then that's the beef that Jesus has with the Pharisees as he goes on. Look at verse 56. He said, "You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you just don't know how to interpret the present time?" So he got into this whole thing about weather. You know, you know when it's going to rain, and you predict that, and it rains. You know when the wind's going to blow and when it's going to be hot. So it's almost like Jesus saying, you have a brain. You know how to see things that are before you, but you are a hypocrite because God's anointed one is in front of your face and you do not see it. Amen. And I think that's what happens in our lives. We see this friction. We feel this friction that comes when we begin to make spiritual moves towards Jesus. And my prayer is that we recognize what's happening. That we don't just give in to, well, the devil's trying to get me down again. Man, you know, I guess I do have a bad past. Maybe I just can't get over that addiction. Well, maybe I just, no, that is not what God is wanting you to see. He wants you to see that he is offering you a new life. He is offering you a way out. To change those desires of your heart in such a way that what was once friction has become traction in moving towards into this life of holiness. So following Christ will cause conflict. There's no way around that. Honestly, if you don't have conflict in your life as a result of following Christ, you're missing something. And I know, but that's not very encouraging. I thought when we got saved that, you know, everything's great, and, you know, and I get healthy and wealthy and rich and all this good thing. You know, I thought it's easy sailing. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but it's not anywhere in my Bible, any of that stuff. Okay? None of that's in the, what's in my Bible is that there will be conflict. You see, because you're choosing a different ethos. You're choosing the kingdom of God versus what the world says. So there's going to be times where you make decisions based on kingdom life that's going to be counter from what the world says you should do. There's going to be ways that you speak at work that's going to be different from everybody else because you are speaking as a someone who is living for the kingdom of God. And it's going to be different from others who are not living in the kingdom of God. There's just going to be a difference there. There's going to be some sort of conflict. So Jesus, he goes on to give this illustration about setting the differences between you and your adversary before you go to the magistrate. There in the last part of this. And you may be thinking, oh, that's great. Jesus is giving me some good advice on some judicial advice, some law advice. No. He's not giving you advice on what to do next time you get a speeding ticket. There's a big metaphor here. I mean, he's speaking to the Pharisees. And he uses this analogy of, hey, listen, if you got some sort of adversary, man, you better figure this out before you go to the judge. And we all know how this works. If you get a speeding ticket or if you have some sort of run into some sort of legal issue, 9 times out of 10, whether the solicitor's office and the public defender, they're getting together, they're trying to work something out. Because once it goes to the judge, once you say, yes, I want to stand trial, once you go before the judge, your fate is in the hands of that person who is behind that bench. Gone are any kind of deals. Gone or anything, any sort of negotiations, once you step before that judge, man, that's it. Whatever the judge says is how this is all going to play out. And this is, I'll be honest, this is a look at judgment. He's telling the Pharisees, listen, you have issues with me. You and I are these adversaries for whatever reason. But Pharisees, you better get it worked out before you go before the judge. You see, because once you go before the judge, time is up. Time is over. And this is what we need to realize today. Whatever conflict has arisen in your heart as a result of the kingdom of God breaking in, allow the Lord, allow the purifying power of the Holy Spirit to mold that and to work that into the likeness of God. Because once you stand before the judge, time is no longer on our hands. And I know that's not very encouraging. But it's the truth. When we find ourselves in spiritual tension, we have to prayerfully seek God's presence and direction in order to keep our spiritual traction and to keep on moving forward. So let's wrap it up. So choosing to follow Christ will cause some sort of conflict in your life. There's no way around that. If God is speaking to you today, if God is speaking to you today about the spiritual condition of your heart, then you better believe there's going to be some sort of tension that is created because of that decision. Because you're turning away from one thing and going towards another. So choosing to follow Christ will be uncomfortable at times, but it will also be the most satisfying and life-giving decision you could ever make. You see, because this is the final thought I want you to see, because in the midst of conflict, you will see the faithfulness of God. In the midst of whatever conflict is created from going from darkness to light, God is going to be faithful. He's going to do it again and again and again and again. So I don't know how the Lord's speaking to you today. I'm not sure how the Lord is speaking to you today. But I know that if there's any sort of question that needs to be settled in your heart, God wants to help you settle that question. There's any kind of conflict that is raging in your heart. The Lord wants to help you. He wants to help you settle that today. And maybe that's where we are. Maybe we're a little bit scared of taking that step of faith. We're a little bit scared of the conflict that may arise in making a decision for the kingdom. But I can tell you that God will be faithful to you as you move into His holiness, as you move into this life of being made into His image. He's going to be faithful with you through the very end. So maybe today your conflict is sin. Your conflict is you are still living in darkness. You have never asked Christ to come into your heart. So I'm asking you today to come and to settle that conflict, to take that step of faith and say, Lord, I don't know what this means for my life. I don't know what all the details of what this means, but I do know that in choosing you, I do know that it will give me life and it will change my heart. And it could be that you're a believer. It could be that you've made a decision, but there are still conflicts in your heart. Maybe your heart is still divided on some things. And it could be that you need to experience the purifying power of His Holy Spirit. It could be that you need to come and confess, say, Lord, I'm tired of the conflict. Take all of my heart. Take all of who I am. I surrender it all to you. I put all of who I am, I put my yes on your altar. Because I don't want to be in conflict in any way with your word. That could be where you are today. Through it all, God's still going to be faithful. He's going to keep on and keep on doing it again as we're made into His likeness. Let's stand. as we close today.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.